Why don't you take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 12 tonight. Romans chapter 12. And we're looking at the last little section of Romans here. Romans chapter 12, and be finishing up Romans 12 tonight, Lord willing. And we're kind of in the home stretch of the book of Romans. Can you believe it's November will be here before we know it, and November is when we started Romans, and so be a year. So if we get it all done in a year, it'll be a miracle. And so anyways, and of course, we've gone through it so much quicker than most would, just in the fact that, I don't know, at least with Romans, it's not always this way, but, you know, a lot of times if I start a series, I feel like the Lord just has me hang with it until we're done. Keeps us in that vein, keeps us in that frame of mind, and you're not kind of, your thoughts aren't scattered. And it's not always that way, but a lot of men, you know, they'll take one service Wednesday night or something and just kind of go verse by verse and teach through a book. But, the Lord's kind of had us just hang with it, and so just the fact that we've stuck with it every service outside of the Lord putting a particular thought on my heart, you know, just to preach something away from Romans. You know, a lot of men will just go one service a week, and you know, it takes years to get through it. And so anyways, I've really enjoyed it, and I've enjoyed the divisions of it, how you get, you know, and that's just the way the Bible is. It's amazing all the ground you cover when you just preach what's there, when you just go with what's there and just preach what's there. Amen. And so the Lord doesn't need all of our thoughts and personality and all that. He, you know, we just need His Word. Amen. He doesn't need us. His Word will get the job done. And so anyways, we're looking here in Romans chapter 12, and going to finish up this chapter tonight. And then we'll be moving ahead. But I want us to look in verse number 9. We'll begin reading in verse number 9 and read down to the end of the chapter, and then give you the message for tonight. Out of Romans chapter 12, verse 9, he said, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits." Now let me hit pause for just a second. That whole section there, verse 9 down through verse 16, tends to, by and large, be talking to the brethren regarding our living and our behavior amongst the brethren. And I know we've talked about that, but just kind of getting us up to speed, that section. But what you'll find now in verse 17, the very next verse down to the end of the chapter, you'll find that the tone tends to change, and some of the words that he uses changes. And it's pretty obvious that it's shifting from really dealing with our behavior and our living among the Lord's people, shifting to dealing with our living and our behavior among lost people. And God is interested in both. Amen? And so look with me in verse 17. I think you'll see what I'm talking about. In verse 17, he says, "Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." And so he goes from using words like brethren and one another and each other to talking about men. "Recommends no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." And then he says, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.' Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, or in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." Now, as we look down through here, again, really what this is dealing with, we've seen in verse 9 down through verse number 16, our living, or God's expectation of our, this is all dealing with God's expectations, the practical aspects of the Gospels and how God expects those that have been saved to live. And God does have expectations on how saved people live. Amen? And that's what we're dealing with. 12, all the way to chapter 12, all the end of the book, is God's expectations, the practical aspects of the gospel, how to practice the gospel, how to practice your living in light of the gospel. And so we've seen our living among the Lord's people in verse 9 down through verse number 16. And then as we pick up in verse number 17 down to the end of the chapter, it's our living among lost people. Now, the testimony of the gospel is on trial every time you and I step out among the world. The world is casting judgment and the world is making a calculation on your faith and your gospel and your God. The world is making a calculation every time we are before them. And they are putting the gospel on trial. And so really that's what's wrapped up. We wrap all that up in what we'd call a testimony. That's what we call having a testimony. That is living right, living a certain way among the world and allowing them to make a judgment of your God and your faith and what you believe based on how you live. Because what you believe is what you live. Everything else is just religious nonsense. That's what Adrian Rogers said. Amen. And that is true. It is true. What you believe is what you really do. We can say we believe this, that, or the other as much as we want to, but what we really believe in our heart is what we will live out and what we will practice. Amen. That doesn't mean we'll be perfect. I mean, I believe a lot of things that I still fail at, amen? But there's a big difference in a hypocrite, someone who never intends to be what they pretend to be, and someone who's just struggling trying to live for God, but they know what's right and they believe what's right. Amen? There's a big difference. But the world's always making the calculation, and we always have a testimony. You, me, all of us, our church collectively, we have a testimony whether we like it or not. It's either a good testimony or it's a bad testimony. The world's either making a calculation based on you on the job and calculating that there's something real about that guy. There's something real about that person. They're making a calculation of the young people at school, all their peers, and they're calculating whether there's something real or whether there's nothing to it. Amen. And that's and a lot of, when people claim to be saved and claim to love the Lord and they look no different from the rest of the world, that's exactly what the world says. They look at us and they look at the God that we say that we have and the gospel that we say that we have. They look at the old time way and all the things that we say we believe. But if it makes no difference in our life and makes us no different from them, they just simply look at it and they may not say it with their mouth, but in their heart they say there's nothing to it. There's nothing to it. Because the gospel is always on trial, and the testimony of the gospel is always on trial every time we step out into the world. And that's what God is dealing with here through Paul. He's dealing with our testimony. He's dealing with our behavior and our living, the practical aspects of the gospel before lost people. Now, it's important that we live right amongst one another. And that we treat each other right. And that we, you know, that we do each other and we live correctly among one another. But how much more important is it that we live right and stand right among a lost and dying world? Need I remind you that this is something we're all going to give an account for when we stand before God. Everyone will give an account for our living. How we lived but not among one another and among the lost world too. Amen. And so I've got, I think, four different things here. If you kind of break down this passage, there's really four different commands, four different ways that God, through the Apostle Paul, is commanding saved people to live among the lost. Let's look at them. Verse number 17, the first thing he says is, "Recompense to no man evil for evil." And so the very first command is that we would live innocently among the lost world. In other words, we don't repay good with good and evil with evil. That's what the world does. That's what the world does. Listen, whenever your waitress is having a bad day at the restaurant, listen, we don't treat her the way the world would treat her. At least we shouldn't. Amen? But it's a sad commentary that if you talk to most people that work with the public, most of them will say that church people are the worst. And brethren, these things ought not so to be. Amen? Listen, we don't recompense good for good and then evil for evil, because that's what lost people do. Anybody can recompense good for good. Anybody can return. When somebody does you good and does you right and treats you right, listen, anybody can turn around and treat that person right and treat that person kindly whenever they've showed you kindness. And then anybody can turn around and treat somebody nasty who's treated them nasty. That's what your flesh wants to do. Isn't that right? And so the law does that. But listen, this is the practical application, not of the flesh. This is the practical application of the gospel. This is the difference the gospel makes in us. Amen? And what the gospel does when it comes on the inside of somebody and makes them alive in the spiritual man, it gives us a power to overcome the flesh and to overcome the ways we would have reacted when we were lost and overcome the ways that the world acts whenever they're lost. See, the world cannot overcome that. The flesh cannot overcome that. The flesh can overcome recompensing good for good and evil for evil, but saved people can, because we got the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the command is to recompense good for evil. Any lost person can recompense good for good and evil with evil. But listen, as saved people, God's expectation of His children is to always repay with good. Whether we've received good or whether we've received evil, even when it's evil, we're still to repay it with good. And that's not an easy thing to do. In fact, it's so hard, it's so difficult, you can't even do it without the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, you might can kind of work yourself up every now and then, but I'm talking about consistently living the lifestyle of a saved person that would recompense even the evil things in their life for good and returning good in light of evil. Listen, you got to have the Holy Spirit to help you live that lifestyle. Amen. And of course, we would even fail at that at times. I understand that. We get overcome with our flesh and we fail at that. And it's something we have to work at. But this is God's expectation of anyone who says they are saved. He expects us to recompense no man evil for evil. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 20. And I want us to look at some verses tonight. It's good to have our Bibles and use them. Amen. But in Proverbs chapter 20, Proverbs, the book of wisdom. Look at what he says in Proverbs chapter 20, in verse 22. He says, "Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and He shall save thee." You know why we don't recompense evil? It's because we've got a God. We have a God. We have a God who fights our battles. We have a God who takes care of us. Listen, whenever you get saved, listen, you don't have to fight your battles. You don't have to stand up for yourself. As a matter of fact, you realize that Paul commanded the church at Corinth, he told them that it's better for you to be defrauded than to stand up for yourself, so to speak, and take somebody to court and fight it out in court among the whole world, among everybody, and fuss and fight and take things to court and do all that. He said it's better for you to be defrauded. It's better for you to allow yourself to get ripped off then drag somebody into court to make sure you get what you got coming to you. He said, man, just take the loss. Just take the loss and keep the peace. Listen, it'd be real hard to ever reach somebody with the gospel that you've drug into court, even if they did do you wrong, even if you are right. You know, sometimes it's just better. I won't even say sometimes. The majority of the time, as saved people, it's better to just let things go. Just let it go. Amen. Rather than make a big deal, rather than cause a bunch of strife, rather than recompensing evil for evil, listen, just put it in the hands of the Lord and just trust God and just know that He knows, amen, because nothing's ever happened that He don't know about in your life. Even whenever it's something small, the big things, the little things, God knows. Trust that God knows. Trust that God will take care of it. And just like my mom always taught me when I was growing up, you can't control what anybody else does, but you can make sure you're doing right. You can't control whether somebody, pays you with evil or, says something nasty to you or treats you nasty or rips you off. You cannot control that, but you can control how you respond to it. And we can always respond spiritually when we have the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so he says, say not thou. That is, say not within yourself, within your heart. Don't say within your heart, I'm going to recompense evil. He says, but wait on the Lord, He'll save you. Trust the Lord. Turn over a page or two to chapter 24 of Proverbs. And look at what he says in verse number 29. Again, say not, verse 29, chapter 24, verse 29. Say not, that is, say not within yourself, to yourself, within your heart. Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. He said, don't do that. Don't treat others the way they treated you. As a matter of fact, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount over in the Gospels said the exact opposite. That's where we get the golden rule, isn't it? We don't do unto others as they've done unto us. We do unto others as we would have done unto us, regardless of what they've done to us. We always recompense good, whether it's good or whether it's evil, as far as what we've received. And so, turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. I mentioned the golden rule, but in 1 Peter, we really see Christ's example in this. And the Lord is our example. And look at what it says about Him, what Peter said about Him in 1 Peter chapter 2, and look in verse number 21. If you're there, say amen. 2 Peter 2, verse 21, it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us a what? An example." That's a key word there. In other words, He did this so that you would do the same thing, following His footsteps, leaving us an example, that ye should follow in His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who, when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Jesus did no sin. There's no guile found in His mouth. He's the spotless, sinless Son and Lamb of God. And yet they brought false witnesses against Him. They lied about Him. They brought false accusations about Him. And never one time did He ever defend Himself. Never one time did He revile evil or recompense evil for evil. He always did good. Amen? And the Bible clearly says right here that He is our example, that we should follow in His steps. Amen? And so as God's people, I know this is a struggle. I know this is a battle. This is something you've got to walk filled with the Holy Spirit to do. Amen? But if you walk full of the Holy Spirit, we will live innocently among lost people. No one would ever be able to point to our life and say, yeah, I really saw him blow up one time. I really saw her blow up on somebody one time. I really saw them really, show themselves out in public, to a cashier or whatever sometime. And by the way, if you do these things, I know this is all talking about living among the lost, but if we do this, we'll live right among one another too. Amen? You'll never have church blow-ups. Listen, you'll never have splits and you'll never have problems if we would do this. Amen? Live innocently. Back in Romans chapter 12, the next one. He says in verse 17, the first part of the verse, he says, recompense no man evil for evil. But then he says, provide things honest in the sight of all men. So not only are we to live innocently among the lost, we are to live honestly among the lost. That is, always be honest, and we should always be honest. Amen. We've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, he said. So we're to always be honest, but we're to take particular care to be honest when we're out among the lost world and we're dealing with lost people. In other words, we ought to take particular care that there would never even be a hint of dishonesty in anything that we're doing. Not in any type of business we're doing, not any type of work we're doing, not anything we say or we do. Listen, this type of honesty among the lost world, it involves premeditation and it involves planning beforehand. You have to premeditate and plan out some ways to make sure that that you appear honest, completely honest among the lost world. So there's some things that you can do and you can be doing honestly. And by the way, you can't cover every base in this all the time. But there, you know, we know going into some things that some things, you know, you can do it honestly with a whole heart and a sincere heart. And it can appear a certain way. But that's why we have to walk soberly. That's why we have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves to premeditate and plan that any given thing that we do would appear honest to the lost world. Living honestly has to be thought about, has to be purposed. One man said we must plan it in our mind, purpose it in our heart, and practice it in our life if we would be honest in the sight of all men. Amen. See, we must be so careful to live honestly in a dishonest world because that's a hallmark of this world, is dishonesty. And religion, that's really a hallmark of religion. See, if the lost world is to ever know that what you and I have got is real, we're going to have to show them something real. And we're going to have to make double sure, extra sure that they know that it is real in our life. Listen, how many false prophets has it come out, you know, where they were dishonest in their money or dishonest in their marriage or dishonest in church handlings, all these things. Listen, it's a hallmark of empty, dead, false religion, this thing of dishonesty. And so the world's come to expect it. And so if they're going to know we got through, we got to walk honestly. Amen? That word honest, a couple of the meanings of that word is beautiful and comely. And that ought to be our life. That should represent our lives, our lives as God's people to a lost and dying world. Your life to the world ought to represent comeliness and beauty to the lost world, to a dishonest world that always expects the worst out of everybody. Amen? We ought to be honest. I'm going to read you this verse. You might want to write down the reference. We won't turn there, but 2 Corinthians 8, verse 21, he said, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord. He specifically said that. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. That lets us know we got to be very careful that anything we do, that the world perceives it as honesty. They see everything above board in our life. There's nothing, there's nothing that's not blameless that they could point to. Philippians 4 and verse number 8. Apostle Paul writing to the Philippian church said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. God help us to live honestly. Amen. Amen. And take special care that we are honest. Amen. Listen, I was a salesman for 4 years. Even saved salesmen can be honest before the lost world. Amen. Amen. I can't tell you how many people, and I'm not tooting my own horn here. I want you to understand. I'm not saying anything about myself, but I will say this. I can't tell you how many people that come through, you know, during my time there, when it was all said and done, the deal was made, it was all put together, and they'd always ask me, are you a preacher? I felt like you were a preacher. And you'll find people asking you things like that too if you walk as a Christian. They might not ask you if you're a preacher, but they'll ask you things like that. Amen. Because that's you know, that's just the way it is. The world expects dishonesty, and we give them what they don't expect. I'm telling you, God does something in their heart. It shows them something that they hadn't seen before. Walk honestly. Number three, walk dutifully. Back in Romans chapter 12, this third one here kind of covers a few different verses. Look in verse 18. He says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. He says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. There's about really four duties, four things given that we might be a light in a lost world, but they all cover our duty to the lost world. The first one is sowing peace. He says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. See, we're to be peacemakers in an unpeaceful world. The lost world's not generally looking to live peaceably with all men. Not everybody's out looking for a fight, but everybody's definitely out looking to take care of themselves first, regardless of who they have to run over, you know, or who it hurts, who it bothers. I mean, you know, but we're to strive and extend ourselves in every way possible as God's people to be at peace with all men. To be at peace with all men. Even old-fashioned, fundamental, temperamental, premillennial, pre-tribute, you know, whatever, Baptist, even we, that is the way we're supposed to live our lives too. Amen. To extend ourselves in every way possible. I mean, if that means you just got to drink the unsweet tea when you ordered sweet tea, you know. I mean, you know, you can send stuff like that back and not be a big jerk about it. You know that, right? Like, we all know that, don't we? Like, you know, we should extend in every way to make sure we're at peace. And I'm telling you, the world will notice that. The command is to live at peace. And then, not only sowing peace, but suppressing wrath. That wrath has got to be suppressed. Whenever we're done wrong, our flesh wants to rise up every time. It wants to set wrath down on everybody. Isn't that right? And some of us worse than others. I have my moments. I mean, all of us do. Amen. But we're to suppress wrath with the Holy Spirit. He says, dearly beloved, in verse 19, he says, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. The very first thing you want to do when you're wrong is to avenge yourself, to get even. Amen? But God says, suppress wrath. He says, leave it to Him. See, we give place to wrath and we give ourselves to peace, is God's command to His people. God will serve us justice. He will serve justice whenever He serves judgment. God will take care of it. Either it will be sometime here in this life, or it'll be at the judgment whenever the world stands before Him. One way or the other, God is always going to be just in His judgment. Amen. It will happen. So we leave it to Him. But then the third one is in showing kindness. These are our duties to the lost world. In showing kindness. Verse 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Listen, this gets tighter and tighter as we go. It starts out with just not recompensing evil for or good. Amen. Kindness ought to be such a hallmark of the lives of God's people. If anyone is kind in this world, it ought to be us. If anybody is kind and shows kindness to the lost world, man, it ought to always be us. I know we all have bad days, we all have bad moods, we all have struggles, all those things. I understand that. But listen, we ought to lean on the Holy Spirit in those times and pray that God will help us and walk in the Spirit instead of in the flesh and not be overcome by all that. Listen, and lean on Him that we can still be kind, because you can still... All these things are not easy, but they are required. These are not suggestions and take it or leave it, do it if you can. This is God's command. This is what He expects of His people, all of us. So showing kindness. The last one is showing obedience. By doing all of these things, by obeying all these things, it really shows forth the worthiness of Christ to the lost world. It shows them that we really believe what we say we believe. It shows the lost that God's approval is worth whatever anyone's enemies might bring. You know, we repay or we get our will done or, you know, I make sure, you know, I get the last word or whatever. It lets the world know that God's approval is worth whatever one's enemies may bring. And it shows forth His glory. Turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 45, or I'm sorry, verse 43. Matthew 5, look in verse number 43. Look at what He says. Jesus said, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." That's just natural. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's the way people, human beings are. Fallen nature, that's the way it is. Love thy neighbor, hate thine enemy. He said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." Pretty plain right there. You know, I think it's interesting that He specifically says to pray for your enemies. Pray for those that do you wrong. You know, it's really hard to complain about and talk bad about somebody you're praying for. In fact, it's really hard to be ugly to somebody you're praying for. Amen? You know, I think of the person that has been the worst to you that you can possibly think of. You know what you ought to do? You ought to start praying for them. You ought to start asking God to help them. Asking God to work in their life. And not in that Pharisee over the publican kind of way. Thank you, Lord, I'm so much better than them. I'm not as bad as they are. I'm not talking about that. But I mean really sincerely praying for them and really reaching out to them and really doing good to them and really trying to bless them. Amen. I'm not telling you that it'll turn everything around. I'm not telling you that it'll make everything right. But I will tell you this. It'll be causing you to keep the commands of Christ. That's right. It'll get God working. Bring God into the thing. Because, you know, the flesh says, there's no way. That would make such a fool of me. Well, I mean, you kind of got to be willing to be made a fool of if you're going to live for God sometimes. Bring God into the equation. That's what makes all the difference. It's not all about doing our will and doing what comes natural to the flesh and doing what we can calculate and make all come to bear. It's all about doing God's will. Doing God's will. And this is His will. Showing obedience. And so, dutifully, that's all of our duties to the lost world. The last one in back in Romans 12, the last one we have here is in verse number 21. Talk about our living among lost people. We're to live and walk victoriously in verse 21. There's walking innocently, living honestly, living dutifully, but then living victoriously. He said in verse 21, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." See, we got to do good that we may overcome evil with good. That's why separation to nothing never works. I believe in separation as much as anybody else, and I preach separation as much as anybody else. Amen. Bible separation, it's right. But listen, empty separation, listen, it never works. You got to be separated unto something. If you're separated unto nothing, you'll never make it. You have to be separated unto good works because the only way to overcome evil is with good. And especially when we're out living among the lost world, they ought to see a people that is overcoming evil. And the way we're going to do it is overcoming evil with good. That is that the world sees us doing good all the time. That way they never catch us doing evil. They never see you do anything evil. They never see you do anything wrong. They never see you dress wrong. They never see you live wrong. They never see you out running around in the wrong place, running around with the wrong crowd, because you're actively always with the right crowd. You're actively doing the right things. You're actively doing good things. You cannot do evil if you're actively doing good. You can't think evil thoughts if you're actively thinking good thoughts. And we just read the verse over in Philippians about think on these things. That's an active command. Actively think on these things. You say, man, my mind wanders so much and it's so hard to get control of my thoughts. Listen, you can't think bad thoughts if you're in this book. And the more and more of this word you put in your heart, and the more and more of good things you put in your heart and in your mind, the more preaching you put in your mind, the more positive things you put in there, the easier and easier and easier it becomes to overcome negative thoughts and evil thoughts and wicked thoughts. I'm not saying it'll never completely, you know, get victory over it, and you'll never completely not ever have another wicked thought or never have another temptation. But listen, you feed the righteous dog and the evil dog will die. Amen. What you feed is what wins, what gets the victory. And so that's what he's calling us to do, is to live victoriously. And the way to walk victoriously above the lost world is to overcome evil with good. And so the testimony, again, the testimony of the gospel is on trial every time we step out in the lost world. They're always looking. They're always watching. They're always making a calculation. And so the question in light of all this is, what kind of testimony are you giving? What calculation does the world make when they look at you? When they examine your life? When they examine your family, when they see the way you respond, when they see the way you act on a job, when they see the way you live at school, when they see the way you, the things that you're doing, when they see the things that has your heart, and the things that you're interested in, the things that you're talking about, and the way you, listen, when they see all those things about us, what do they really see? Are they saying in their heart, maybe not with their mouth, but in their heart they're saying, man, there's something real there. He or she, she's got something real. He's got something real. Or in their heart are they saying, there's nothing to that? Why would I ever want old-time religion? Why would I ever want that gospel? Why would I ever want that Jesus? Why would I ever even want that? Because there's nothing to it. It's not making a difference in them. Amen. And by the way, all these things, if you'll notice, these things are beyond the checklist things. We've all talked about the checklist of things that you can do, that you can, you know, you can do all these things and appear spiritual. But listen, these are not things that you can do as a checklist and appear spiritual. You have to have the Holy Spirit of God to do these things. Amen. These go beyond just fixing your hair a certain way. These go beyond just carrying a King James Bible. You've got to have the Holy Spirit to do these things. Because there's a lot of people that have the appearance of religion on the outside, but they're full of dead men's bones on the inside. And you know where that comes out? It comes out through these things we're just talking about. Because you can't hide a bad attitude. You can't hide a bad response. You can't, listen, that's going to come out. It's going to come out. Regardless of what you look like on the outside. And the world is always what? They're noticing those things about us. God help us to live right among the lost. Amen. Father, we love you and I thank you for your word. I pray that you'll help us to, Lord, to hide it in our heart that we might not sin against you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us all, Lord, to strive, Lord, to have a godly testimony. Lord, I pray that you'd convict our hearts, Lord, of everything that, Lord, is not right in our life. Lord, that we'd get it right. Lord, we'd lean on you and look to you for help. And Lord, we'd strive, Lord, to be like Christ and to follow his example in all these things. Lord, I thank you for allowing us to be here, allowing us to look into your word. I pray that you'd bless us as we leave this place. I pray that you'd begin now preparing us for this Lord's day. Help us, Lord, to worship you. And I pray that you'd do a great work. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.